Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, best-selling author Michael Lewis and Christine Lagarde reflect on, among other things, lessons learned from the financial crisis.
So one of the things I remember thinking as I was working on both The Big Short and what became Boomerang, the series I wrote about the European crisis, was how much better off we probably all would have been if men had been removed from the top of every large financial institution and women had been put in their place. And there's actually this wonderful research that's been done about.
The IMF hosts a number of seminars on a variety of topics during the IMF World Bank annual meetings, but this year, Managing Director Christine Lagarde did something a little different. She invited author and financial journalist Michael Lewis to sit down with her before a live audience for a candid discussion about some of the issues facing the world economy. Here's part of that conversation.
You've written extensively about the financial world. You yourself had a role in the financial sector, which is one of the reasons you took a particular interest in how good or bad it can be. It does produce devastating effects, particularly in 2008 and following, destroyed massive wealth. Do you think things have changed?
That's a big question. Obviously, some things have changed. I was aware when I was writing Liar's Poker that I was writing about a financial culture that was in transformation. And it was very clear then that there were some big things at work that were potentially corrosive. They were the decline of the partnership structure at the center of American finance, so transformation from partnerships to corporations, the rising complexity of financial instruments, which quickly came to function as the form of opacity, that all the dark wood panel came down, all the glass went up, it all seemed more transparent, but as it got more complicated, it didn't matter, you know, it might as well have been dark wood panel. And the rise of the idea that these banks were essentially not service enterprises, but trading enterprises, to the point where, you know, the one I work for, Salomon Brothers, in 1990 and 91, the proprietary trading desk, which was just a dozen people, and a firm of 8,000 people, generated more than 100% of the firm's profits.
Oof.
So the rest of the firm is unprofitable. Everything is aimed at these trading books. Flash forward to the financial crisis. It's very clear that all three of these changes play a very big role going into 2008. I mean, the question that brings me back to the story, I didn't think I was ever going to write about Wall Street again. But it wasn't that I couldn't believe that the big Wall Street banks would do bad things to the rest of the world. That didn't surprise me. What surprised me is that they would commit suicide, and that there are attempts suicide. That if you look it back away from our financial system, for 30 years plus, it's had call on the best and the brightest across the Western world. And the people it's attracting are not unself-interested people. And yet somehow, when they came together in these organizations, they tried to commit suicide. It was a disaster. How those banks became the dumb money was what got me back in. And it was very clear there were lots of bad incentives at the heart of the thing that caused individuals in the banks to do things that were good for themselves but bad for the institution.
Right. So
when you ask, has it changed? I think it's a two-part question, because one is, have things changed in such a way that will reduce the likelihood that these banks will these giant financial institutions will commit suicide and bring us all down with them? Well, yes, there's been some change there. Has it changed in such a way that they are less likely to do bad things to the rest of us? Much less so. But more importantly, in a weird way, more importantly, has the wider public been persuaded that the change has happened, and not at all? So what regulation has been implemented is so complicated and poorly described to the public that if you wander the streets and ask people what happened, what did they do about Wall Street, people would say basically nothing. The banks seem to be bigger. They're still doing poisonous things like this Wells Fargo scandal. I mean, there's not the the toxic relationship between the financial sector and the rest of the society has not been addressed.
Not been cured.
Not been cured. And you see the political consequences. So I think it's still a big problem. But that's just me. And the truth is, let us just accept the truth that I'm a bit of a fraud here. I mean, I write stories. I write books. And I move in for a story, and then I move out. Yeah. And I don't pay much attention afterwards. But I have paid attention to Wall Street. What do you think? Do you think, does anything I just say strike you as completely idiotic?
No.
All right.
I think a lot of what you said is right. There have been lots of other things that have taken place, which hopefully makes those systems more suicide resistant.
Yep.
And taxpayers less accountable for the mess that is yes. eventually being created.
Yep.
So I think that's a plus. But the regulators and the supervisors would themselves admit that there is still work to be done. On the complexity of instruments, absolutely. And we're not there yet. Not at all.
So one of the things I remember thinking as I was working on both The Big Short and what became Boomerang, the series I wrote about the European crisis,
yeah.
especially in Iceland, was how much better off we probably all would have been if men had been removed from the top of every large financial institution and women had been put in their place. And there's wonderful research that's been done about male overconfidence and its financial effects. There's an economist named Terry O'Dean who, boys will be boys. When I went into Iceland, there was a real sense. I mean, you have this nation of 300,000 people.
And banks.
And they all knew, and these three giant banks. And every Icelander knew this, that the men had screwed up the country. That the men.
Do you remember who fixed it?
A woman.
Yeah.
Not just a woman, a woman who was gay, a woman who would not even sleep with a man. When I went in there, it was the men were so chastened. You could tell it was a moment. Every married man knows this moment where he has told his wife, "Yeah, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Don't. We're not going to stop for directions. Don't look at the map." And then all of a sudden, you lost. You're dead. And it was because these men who'd been fishermen and who'd always known what they were doing got into this new thing called finance. And their wives thought, well, they knew what they were doing when they're fishing. Maybe they know what they're doing now. And the moment I walk in, the only viable financial advisory firm in Iceland was run by a woman. And its business pitch was, if you let me advise you in your financial affairs, I promise no man will participate, that it will be just females giving advice. And people were banging down their doors to get in. So you could see in microcosm what I think happened more generally. And I'm groping towards a question for you. And the question is, I was struck as the financial crisis unspooled, how quickly and ruthlessly the system treated women who were near power. It was incredible how much blame landed on female desks when there were so few females in high positions. So Erin Callan and Sally Krawcheck and Zoe Cruz and the woman who was with the London Whale and J.P. Morgan. It was just, there was always a woman to blame.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, are you nervous? Because whenever I see a woman put in a position of prominence in finance, I think she's there for one reason, to take the fall if things go wrong. So I'll tell you
something, Michael. Most whistleblowers in the pre-financial crisis, you know, the big Enron, yeah. The whistleblowers were all women.
Yeah.
Interesting,
huh? It is interesting.
So what I can tell you, though, is that things have not materially changed. In other words, when it's really messy, the women come in. They restore the situation to a place where it becomes stable, a bit better, and then somehow the men come back.
Well, I would love to know from you to explain to me why in 2016 there still are so few women in positions of great authority in the financial sector. What's the cause of that?
First of all, there are a few more. you know, the Fed now has a woman leading it.
Again, cause for concern. That
well, yeah. She receives a lot more criticism, in my view, than many of her predecessors in many ways, right. Given the great job that she's doing.
Right.
But it's true. When I look around the G20 room, finance ministers, very few women. When I look around our IMFC, which is, you know, the finance ministers and governors of central banks, very few women as well. And I really think that women can actually bring a lot of value that is needed in the financial sector. It's okay if the trading is not as frequent and as, you know, rapid as the boys would like to have it.
Right.
Because if it brings a bit of stability and a bit of security to people at large and to that particular sector, which is vital and yet not exactly as it should be, it would be better. But it's not happening at the pace where it should.
I agree.
Maybe you can help, because you are an incredible communicator. For the people who don't understand financial markets, for the people who don't get why the financial crisis started, people who don't understand what actually subprime means, you know, you explained it all easily.
It is amazing the power of the narrative to affect the way people think about all this. But, you know, the stories that need to be told are the stories about inequality right now. There are two kinds of stories that seem to me to be wet, rich themes that need to be addressed and addressed very creatively. One is the inequality in the world, and two is trust and the lack of trust. I tried to do this with this book I wrote, Flash Boys. I mean, I wrote a whole book and about the rigging of the American stock market, and the most extraordinary financial things have been done. But what interested me was someone on Wall Street was trustworthy and was going to insist on being trustworthy and was going to insist on introducing trust as the main subject, and the effect that had on the environment around him, which is incredible, because the whole system depends on trust. And we've kind of forgotten that. That and this idea of how do you address the inequality in the world and make the problems it gives rise to real.
Well, it's been our fantastic pleasure to actually meet you, Michael, today.
So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
That was IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde and best-selling author Michael Lewis speaking before a live audience at the IMF World Bank annual meetings. You can watch the webcast of their discussion at imf.org. You can also hear more podcasts while you're there, or use your favorite podcast app and search for IMF Podcasts.